Here we go at the very beginning of a brand new series called The Father's Heart. And we're going to be traveling through the book of 1 John. And 1 John is a very interesting book. It's a book that scholars believe was written because there was a need for correction within the life of the community that this author is writing to. And there have been some people within that community who believed that they had a special teaching from God, and that special teaching of God denied the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, that Jesus wasn't fully human and fully man, someone holy could not inhabit an evil body. And so they were starting to split the church with this special teaching that they'd brought in. And so the writer of John, which we think is possibly the writer of the Gospel of John, but we're not sure. But I'm going to, just for ease's sake, I'm going to call him John from now on. Was writing to them saying, hang on, this is what God is really wanting us to concentrate on. And so we're going to launch on into it this morning. And if you start to nod off, God bless you. So let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your mercy, for your love, for your grace for us. And as we come to this brand new series where we want to open up what's important to you and what can be important to us, Lord, help us to have open hearts and minds, vulnerable to what it is that you want to do in us and through us. Because we all know that we're not perfect. We all know that we have only a partial reflection of your truth. And so we need to keep on coming back to your word, listening to your spirit time and time again to stay on track. And so, loving God, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're starting at the very beginning of 1 John, funny enough, because we're working our way through it. And so I might start there and might start by reading it. This is from the Good News Version. We write to you about the word of life, and he's talking about Jesus there, which has existed from the very beginning. So you can see now, as Simon read out the beginning of John's Gospel, that there's a similar sort of themes working through there, that Jesus wasn't just a man, but he has existed previously in the heavenly realms, and so which existed from the very beginning. We have heard it, we've seen it with our own eyes. Yes, we have seen it, and our hands have touched it. Now, hopefully, all your minds are going to the story of Thomas. Yeah? The story of Thomas. When this life became visible, we saw it. So we speak of it and tell you about the eternal life, which was with the Father and has been made known to us. What we have seen and heard, we announce to you also, so that you will join with us in the fellowship that we have with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this in order that our joy may be complete. So one of the things that the writer, that John here in this gospel is wanting to put out is that Jesus was before and now is. And that's pretty similar to Jesus saying, and he says this in John's Gospel, when someone says, Jesus, show me the Father, Jesus turns to them and goes, well, you see me. And if you see me, then you've seen the Father. And in Jesus' mind, if you were to come in contact with him, you were to come in contact with God and his kingdom. And it's not hard it's not hard to sort of see that. I mean, if you want to know about my dad, who's gone and passed on now, all you need to do is look at his three boys. Because we share some of the DNA. And there's one DNA called the black eyebrows that just have been passed on from father to son until my son was born and he got his mother's eyebrows. So, you know, there's some DNA, there's some characteristics. My wife would quite often say to me that I'm stubborn like my father. I don't know if she's right, but she says it. There are mannerisms that I get from my father that I probably don't even recognize. And just like you, you would get traits and DNA and mannerisms from your mother and your father. So when Jesus is saying, you know, if you want to see the Father, look at me, we can understand that because we carry the good bits and sometimes the not so good bits of our parents within us. And so John is wanting to draw on that understanding that when we come to see Jesus, we come to see the Father, and the Father has a desire and a plan and a purpose for our life. And so he starts off this passage not with a hello, not with a how are you doing, but with a theological statement that really shapes the whole rest of the letter. And that theological statement is basically this. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And that God wants to reveal himself to us because he sent Jesus. That the Father wants to reveal himself to us because he sent Jesus. And so when John comes to this gospel and he's writing to this community, he goes, I just want to let you know that I've seen Jesus. I've heard Jesus. I've touched the hands that were pierced. I've touched the resurrected Jesus. This stuff is real. That's what he's saying. This stuff is real. I'm not writing to you because I want to perpetuate some kind of religion. I'm writing to you because I want you to know that God is real. And Jesus is the real embodiment because I've seen it, I've heard it, I've touched it. This is not stuff of pipe dreams. This is real. And so he's going to go on and share his testimony of what he understands as Jesus and what is real. And we're going to pull that out over the next couple of weeks. But he wants us to know that this stuff that Jesus comes and does and says and continues to do is real. It's not fairy tales. It's life-changing, motivating, transformational work. So John gives us his testimony that he has seen, he has heard, and that he has touched. And that because he's seen, because he's touched, that these people that are saying that Jesus is not fully human and not fully God, they don't know what they're talking about because they have not been the witness to it like he had. That he had not embraced and been involved in the way that he has. And today I reckon that John would fit really well into our culture because our culture today is that experience equals truth. I mean, you can come up with anything you like, but experience will always trump it. So you can say that bread goes moldy in 3 days. I'm just making this off the top of my head, by the way, just letting you know. And you go, no, that hasn't been my experience. My experience is that it goes moldy in 1 day. And somebody else goes, no, that's not my experience. My experience is that it goes moldy in 5 days. And it already really depends on where you buy your bread. And so our experience becomes our truth. And these days, people are running off their experience. Well, I don't experience God that way, so therefore God can't be that way. That's not how I experience God. That's not how God works through me, so he can't work through anyone else differently. And so John would have fit really quite well into today's society where he goes, you know what? This is my experience. I've seen Jesus. I've seen him raise people from the dead. I've seen him heal lives. I've seen him bring people back into community. I've seen him bless people. I've seen the children come to me, him when everybody else was saying that they shouldn't come. He says, no, let the little children come unto me. I've seen him beaten and whipped for our sins and our transgressions. I've seen him die on the cross. I've seen him raise again. I've seen that when we're in a locked room, he suddenly appeared, but he wasn't a ghost. He was real, but he wasn't. It was different. I've seen that. I've sat on the hill and heard the teachings like we heard read out today in Matthew's Gospel from Jeff. He says, I've heard it from the very Lord Jesus. And I've seen how his touch heals the leper when people are saying that you shouldn't touch. I've seen Jesus touch and I've seen people transformed. So John is coming with this witness, with this testimony to say this is who God is, this is who Jesus is, and this is what I'm going to be sharing with you now. So it says, from the very beginning, Jesus was, and we've seen, we've heard, we've touched. And just like John has a testimony to give this community, you and I each have a testimony in which we are to give to others around us. But I want to put you to this morning as a framework of this, is that our testimony is meant to be ongoing. It's not meant to be something that happened a long time ago. I can tell you my testimony of how I came to faith 30-odd years ago. And I think I have. And you go, well, that's a really nice story, but that was 30-odd years ago. But what I want to do is I want to tell you of the testimony of how God has moved in me and through me and around me this week. I want to have such a loving and dynamic relationship with this God that what I've seen, what I've heard, and what I've touched is not 30 years ago, but it is last Tuesday or yesterday. And so as John is coming here to this community to testify about what Jesus has done, he's also saying to each and every one of us, we have a testimony about how God interacts with us that we are meant to be shining out into our community. My testimony is not from 34 years ago. My testimony is what happened last week. Now, I went out last week to Port Lincoln. I got flown over there by 3DNet because the churches are really hurting because of the Assembly's decision. And they wanted someone to come and just love them a little bit and tell them that there might be a way in which they can stay in the Uniting Church. And, you know, there have been times where I've prayed for people that I can share my faith with on planes. This was not one of those occasions. But I was sitting next to an exit aisle because as I walked into the airport, the stewardess came up to me and goes, "Ooh, I need to help you," which is a common thing in my life, really, just people coming up and saying, "Ooh, I've got to help you." But she said, "Let me get you an exit aisle." So that's fair enough. I like that. I need the leg room. And as I got onto the plane, I had no one next to me. I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. This is going to be amazing. I'm going to get 50 minutes sleep before I hit the ground and my day takes off. And then the stewardess came, who didn't smile much until I made him smile, said, "Oh, you can't have an empty seat next to you." And he grabs somebody else from down the end of the plane and brings them and pops them next to me. "Thank you very much, Mr. Stewardess." And so I go, all right, he's next to me. Might as well talk. Might as well. Obviously, God wants him there, the sucker. So, and he was this gentleman. His name was Sab. That's his shortened Italian name. And he was about 5 years older than me. And we start having this conversation. I start talking to him about his career and what he does. And he was a trainer training people on how to remove asbestos. He said he wasn't particularly having a fun time. And he said the only joy in his life was really his granddaughter that was born last year. And then he made the fatal mistake of asking me what I did for a living. And when you're a pastor and you say that you're a pastor, it goes either two ways. It either stops the conversation or it springboards it. And this one, it springboarded. He goes, "Oh yeah, I've got a cousin who's a pastor, but he doesn't talk to me about God at all." I said, "Oh, okay." And then we had this 40-minute conversation about the world and brokenness and how God's plan to redeem humankind and how God loves the world and that only God can change the human heart and that we can legislate morality and we can try and make people behave, but it's only the Spirit of God that can change a person's heart. And I'd like to tell you that he knelt down on that plane right there and gave his life to Jesus. But I thanked him for the conversation. And he looked at me and he goes, no, thank you. He goes, "You've given me a great deal to think about." And then I stood up and he said, "Oh, man, you're tall," which is... What was the way the conversations end? See, our testimony is not just about what Jesus has done historically, where John's starting here. It's not even about what he's done in our life in the past. It's what our testimony is, what God is doing in our life right now. Our testimony is not what happened years ago, but our testimony is what happens in our life right now. Because our relationship with God should be a relationship which is continually about connecting and the renewing of our lives in Him. A continual connection and renewing of our lives in Him. The bottom line, if God is not telling you off, and God is not loving you, and God is not encouraging you to step out your comfort zones, you're not that connected. Sorry to tell you. Because God is a God who wants to see us free of the things that hold us back. And He constantly will challenge us. And our testimony needs to be, this is what God has been doing in me this week. This is the conversations that God has placed me in this week. This is the situations that God has enabled me to love people this week. And that's why I put to our small group leaders that when we gather as a small group, I don't just want us to be filling our head with Bible knowledge, even though that's important. But what I want us to be is a community that reflects on how God is moving in us and through us every day. And so John outlines, how have we seen, how have we heard, and how have we touched? And so I'm encouraging our small group leaders, and maybe you saw that within the Abundance series, to say, you know, what has God been saying to you this week? How have you heard God? What's God been challenging with you? What's God been comforting you in? What's God been saying? Because if you're going week in, week out without hearing the voice of God, you're not in relationship. So I want to know what God's saying to you. I want your small group to know what God is saying to you. And I want you to encourage each other in that way. I want you to ask the question, how have you loved God and your neighbour this week? How have you touched the world with the gospel? How have you touched someone's life? I want you to encourage you to ask questions of what has God been doing in you? What have you seen God do inside of you? Because I believe that we're not called to be a community that just has our mind full of this knowledge, but that we're a community that reaches out and sees God work in our lives every single day. Because as we step out into that, God renews us, God restores us, God transforms us into the people he has created us to be. So I want to ask you this morning, what's your testimony? Is your testimony something from a long, long time ago? Or is your testimony something that happened this week? What's your testimony? What have you seen? What have you heard? What have you touched that relates to God this week? Are you allowing yourself to be renewed? Have you encountered the Father this week? And have you loved your neighbor as yourself? Because if we want people to experience the Father's heart, they're only going to see it through you and through I. They're only really going to have a tangible understanding of what the Father's like by looking at his sons and his daughters. Because you are meant to bear the traits of the Father in heaven. Now, you might not get God's eyebrows, but you are meant to be walking with him in such a way that you're reflecting his goodness and his kindness and his love and his character. And I think that some of us, we've been holding on to mum and dad's faith for a while, and it's time for us to find our own. I think some of us have been walking, but we're dry and we need God's love and God's grace again. Some of us have been praying out of duty and not out of love. And some of us have been living in what used to happen in our lives instead of what is happening in our lives. So I want to encourage you this morning to think about your testimony. Think about what God is doing in you right now and how you can share that with others. So will you stand with me, please? If you've been living your life on someone else's faith and not on your own, or if it's been a long time since you felt like you've connected with God, or whether or not it's been a long time since you felt like God has used you, and you want that to change, you might not, but if you want that to change, I simply want you to put out your hands in front of you and we're going to pray for you. So close your eyes, put out your hands in front of you if you want to feel a fresh connection with our Father. Holy God, we thank you for your people. And Lord, they want to love you more deeply, and some of us just don't know how. So by your Holy Spirit, fill us, renew us, restore us for your grace and for your glory. Help us, Lord, to live every day for you, dying to ourselves and living afresh for you. Loving God, bless this community. May the stories that come out of it be ones that are full of faith and love and hope for the glory of your name. Amen.